Morning, everyone. So it's so great that we can be here to praise and honor our good God. And also so good to see Noah, a little cute kid, see his baptism. So it reminds us that God's grace not only come to us, but also through us, this grace may extend to our family. So that's wonderful things to see. So today, we will continue our series, Make Most of Every Opportunity. And the topic is about grace, and especially grace in conversation. So how about we pray as we start? So let's spend time to pray to our God. Dear God, we thank you that you are such gracious Lord. You give us all the blessings, all the goodness that we do not deserve. And we pray that this grace will continue to encourage us, motivate us, and shape us, and also help us to be gracious as we relate to one another. So especially in conversation, as we are going to explore today, we pray you help us to be graceful in our conversation. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So words are powerful. It has ability to build up, give us encouragement and hope. They also has the power to destroy, discourage, and leave us broken and hurt. So think about it. How many times your heart was enlightened and lifted up because of the gracious word people spoke to us. So they have the power to drive away all the worries, bring us comfort, and give us strength to keep going. Also, how many times your heart was hurtful, discouraged, and break down because of the harsh word people spoke to you. So they extinguish all your passions, pierced your heart, and left you scars that takes a long time to heal. Words has a power either to bring life or death. Using Bible's language, it says, tongue is like a small rudder that can control a large ship, or it's like a small spark that can burn off the whole forest. So that's how powerful our tongue and our words are. So in this series, we are pondering about making most of every opportunity for the good news of Jesus going out to the world. As we think about this, we certainly cannot ignore about making most of every opportunity in our speech. We have to use this powerful tool, so every word we speak, to bring this grace to the world. So in today's Bible passage, Apostle Paul encouraged and instructed Christians at Colossae and also applied to us to make every opportunity to encourage the world, to engage the world through graceful conversation. As we know that he opens doors for his message to be heard through us. So through the word we speak. So what is this graceful conversation? And how can we speak in a way that people is able to hear this grace fully? And what can we do to make most of every opportunity to make our conversation count for God's kingdom? So these are all the questions that we are going to explore today. Our big idea for today is our conversation can either commend or condemn the gospel. And our first point is conversation that is full of grace. Let's look at verse 6 again. So let your conversation be always full of grace. So what is this graceful conversation? So firstly, it is about the content. We want to make sure the content is full of grace. So it means it fills the content with the gospel message. The gospel message is full of grace, isn't it? So it's a saving message from loving God for all people. And it's about having personal relationship with God and enjoy his blessings. So being graceful in our conversion means we must be faithful to the gospel message. So it won't be graceful if we're twisting the gospel message, either if we overemphasize on behavior change or performance, which demands people to work hard to earn their salvation. Or we might go another extreme. We may overemphasize on grace, and we want to tell people, God will love you, forgive you, accept you, no matter what you do, and we mention nothing about repentance and live a new life. So twisting the gospel message is graceless as we push them away from God's grace and actually give them a false hope that could never come true. A graceful conversation is always be faithful to the gospel message. And sometimes graceful conversation may not always be delightful. It may challenge or even offend people. So sometimes being graceful is to warn people the seriousness of God's judgment. If our warning that can lead people to Christ can save their life, then actually that's the most loving thing to do. And Jesus Christ, which was known to be the most loving person, he actually speaks the most sturdy things, warning about God's judgment and hell. So in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, when Jesus speaks the final judgment and says that those who are cursed will go into the eternal fire prepared for the evil and his angel. And also in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 and 48, Jesus speaks about hell as a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. So why Jesus talk like that? How can the most loving man speak the most strict language? Well, it is because he is loving. So he tries his best to warn people not to turn away from God, but turn to him in repentance so they can be saved. Recall Tyser, the author of Christianity Explored, so described this warning as a shark sigh on the beach. When we go to the beach, see the water is so clean, it's so wonderful, we just get ready to jump in the water, then we see the sigh like this. Danger, shark, no swimming. It's disappointing. But is it loving to warning us about the shark? Of course, because it saves us life. And that is the gospel message sometimes does. It's warn us about the seriousness of sin, so cause us to turn back to God. So being graceful in our conversation sometimes means challenge people's belief and speak to them the truth that may offend them. In a culture that no one likes to be judged or challenged because of what they believe, it is extremely hard to challenge people's false belief and cause them to repentance. But actually, it is also the most loving and graceful thing that we can do to them. So I hope God give us encouragement, give us wisdom and boldness, so we can say it when it needs to be said. Secondly, a graceful conversation means gracious manners. Just as important as what we say is how we say it, because we could have great message, great perspective, and great truths to share. But if we say it without gracious manner, such as compassion and gentleness, respectfulness, empathy and forgiveness, even the graceful message can be hardly heard and received, or even it can be conceived as something unpleasant or very harsh. And instead, it brings damage and push people away from us and God. So it condemns the gospel. So for example, some people may get over passionate when share the gospel and becomes very aggressive. So your belief is wrong. What you need to do is believe in Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, or you will die in hell. Or we can sometimes get overexcited and lose manner. So perhaps you've been waiting for the gospel sharing moment for a long time. We've been watching if anyone shows any interest to the gospel. And finally, someone asks a question, who is Jesus? You're so excited about it. So you get in and you say your word, dominate the conversation, and you are satisfied. But how does the people react? Don't know, and we not care that much. So we don't want to do that. So we want to say it with gracious manner too. So how can we do that? So the first thing what we can do is speak with humility. Yeah, because we mentioned we do not just want to say our sins, get people educated with our awesome belief, and we want to spend time to understand their value and perspective. So for example, if they say something valuable or interesting, recognize their contribution and show genuine interest to want to know more about what they think. So if a Muslim friend said, we have a different view about Jesus, so we don't want to be judgmental, say, you're wrong. So we might use same chance, typical response. Wow, tell me more. So which encourages them to tell you more about what they think. So speak with humility also involve recognizing our own limitations of knowledge and understanding. So we don't want to pretend that we know everything and we can answer every question, because a lot of time we don't know how to give a proper answer, and that's fine. Speak in humility, which means we can tell them, we're not sure about that. I will just go back to do some research and I can get back to you later. Because as we speak in humility, we will win people's respect and it commands the gospel. The second manner we can have is speak with gentleness and respectful. We don't want to be aggressive and confronting. So we don't want to see others less valuable than us. Instead, we speak in a way that is gentle, polite, considering, and empathetic. We might use a tone of voice that is calm, soft, and soothing, and a voice sounding harsh and a confrontation, because it helps to create more positive and relaxed vibe, and actually makes people feel more comfortable, and they are more able to engage a gospel conversation with you. So we want to be respectful to others, regardless of their nationality, social status, level of education, their religion background. So just be gentle and respectful. Even we disagree with what the others like with their worldview. So instead of saying you're right, you're wrong, we can say I understand your perspective, but I have different opinion on this matter. So here's what I think. So speak with gentleness and respectful. So these are all the little things that we can do to speak gently and as respectfully that commands the gospel. And the final manner I want to share is sometimes be graceful is to not speak. Can you think if any circumstances is like that? So perhaps when someone is sharing something deeply personal or emotional, so being graceful might mean being present and supportive without feeling the need to feel the silent with the word. Or when someone is getting upset or even angry at what you said, being graceful might not to keep adding the heat, instead taking a step back to reflect and consider our word and actions more carefully. Also, in a situation when we are tempted to criticize or judge someone, being graceful might mean choosing to hold back and being quiet. Or in a situation we do not have anything helpful or constructive to say, being graceful might mean remaining silent instead of just speaking for the sake of filling the gap. So may God give us wisdom to know when to be silent and when to speak, so we can make the most of opportunity to command the gospel. My second point is conversation that is well seasoned. Let's look at this verse again. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. So what does salt do in seasoning? It enhances the flavor, right? So imagine having smashed potato without salt. Without salt, what faith will you got? Nah, I don't want it. It's bland. Then if we add some salt to it and it tastes again, yum. It tastes much better and I want more. So that's what salt does. It brings out the nature flavor of the ingredients and make it tasty. So Paul here instructs us to season our conversation with salt. So not to change the flavor, not to change the graceful flavor, but to make it more tasty. So people want to hear more from you about the gospel message. So it means we need to be wise in our speech and speak in a way that is appealing, interesting, and engaging. But what does that mean? So is that mean like, is that about interesting or witty personality? And you may think, well, if I'm not that interesting type of guy, well, it is true that some people are naturally more interesting and they are more, they are charismatic type of guy, very eloquent, and people enjoy chatting with them. So praise God for that. But it doesn't mean uncharismatic type of people can't be interesting and engaging, because it is not about just about personality. So it's more about the wisdom in our speech. Jesus actually shows us great example of having engaging conversation. For example, he often used parables and metaphors in his speech. So he claims he's the light of the world, he's the bread of life, and he's the good shepherd. So also he used a parable to describe the kingdom of God, such as the parable of growing seed, the mustard seed, and the hidden treasure, etc. And he illustrated God's love and forgiveness through the parable of the lost sheep, lost coin, and also the prodigal son. So the list can go on and on. Jesus' speech is full of image and everyday life examples. He knows how to relate to audience well and speak in a way that is memorable and understandable. Even the complex spiritual truth can be explained in a very simple way. So we can also use everyday stories and examples to speak the gospel message. The gospel is still that gospel. We don't want to change that. But the way of speaking it can be adapted to the need and understanding of different people and a culture. I remember church camp this year, Daniel Shi from the Bible City Forum. So he wrote his own version of Psalm 115. So when described idols, it is no more things made by silver or gold, but by metal and glasses. It's an electronic device idols of many people today. I think that's a brilliant example as it connects really well with people in this generation. And another engaging way is to share the story of Jesus through our own story. How does the gospel bring me hope in this hopeless world? How does the gospel bring me peace and joy in the time of hardship? How does it transform my life and show me how to love? I'm sure there's a lot of great, interesting things can be said from there. Jesus also speaks to the culture in his time. So he doesn't ignore the culture around him. Instead, he challenges the cultural norms and the practice of his time with the gospel message. He does it through his word and actions, which is really appealing. So we know that Jesus ate with sinners and the tax collectors, and he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He challenged the ideas of authority and leadership. So in the culture where value, hierarchy, and power, Jesus challenged to the disciples to be servant of all and teach that the great among them should be the one who serve. And he also challenged a lot of meaningless practice like Sabbath observance, clean ritual, and a food law, and show them the true meaning of Sabbath and a clean and a purity. So, does the gospel message has an interesting and a beneficial thing to say to the culture today? It certainly does. There are a lot of things we can talk about here. So, what does gospel has to say? For example, what does the gospel has to say to individualism? Now, is it my right, my freedom, are the most valuable things to pursue? Is there anything about the gospel that is more beautiful than that? Or what does the gospel has to say towards materialism? Is there anything about the gospel that is more attractive than just the physical prosperity and a comfortable life? Or what does the gospel message has to say to the hot topics such as the gender issues, the LGBTQ issues, the current wars, climate change, technologies and AI, racial and social justice? So actually the gospel message gives us a lot of interesting things and helpful things to say about these things. What we can do is to, what we can make our conversation interesting is simply to do some research and reflection on these things and prepare some good answer for these questions. Then we can make our conversation flavorful and people want to hear more about the gospel and commend the gospel. Of course, we want to speak in a way that is always graceful. And another example Jesus shows us is he used questions in his evangelism to engage his listeners. So he asked questions in a way that invited deeper reflection and introspection. It challenged the assumption and the beliefs of the audience, encourage them to think critically, and lead them to deeper understanding of God's love and grace. So, for example, he asked a Samaritan woman at the well for a drink of water, which led to a conversation that helped the woman to recognize their own spiritual thirst and remind him the need of the living water she needs from Jesus. Jesus also asked personal questions to challenge people's belief and attitude. In Mark chapter 10, verse 18, so he asked a rich young man, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So this question challenged the man to examine his own righteousness and his own belief about Jesus, and then reveal him the need for salvation. Again, this list can go on and on. So ask a good question is also powerful too in other evangelism. It is actually a thing called questioning evangelism. It helps us initiate the conversation rather than just passively wait for the question to be asked. So we can start with really simple questions. No? For example, what brings you to church today? What do you think about today's message? Or have you ever read the Bible by yourself? Then, then I'm sure this question give you plenty of things to say about the Bible, about God, and about church. And also, we can go further and ask more deep questions, like, what do you think about the existence of God? And also, like, why so many scientists believe in God? Now, what is the true happiness? What's the meaning of life? So the gospel message gives us a lot of interesting things, a lot of things to say about us and about the world we live. So ask good questions certainly can effectively lead to meaningful and engaging conversation about our faith. And also good questions can make our conversation engaging, because nothing is more engaging than allowing other people to share their own worldview and perspective. If we are interested in what other people has to say, they perhaps will also show interest in us about what we have has to say. Again, Sam Chan's typical method. Wow, that's interesting. Tell me more. Yeah, we can use more of this language in our conversation. And on top of that, ask questions like actually can help us know well about the perspective and worldview of other people. And therefore, we can speak to them in a way that is more powerful and personal. So for example, if someone shows great passion about social justice, we might want to spend more time to tell them about the justice of God. So listening well to hear about what people has to say is very important. So ask questions in our conversation is a great way to do that. And here comes to my last point, which is always and everyone. So I want to keep very brief here. Let's read the verse again, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It is not saying let your conversation occasionally be filled of grace, seasoned with salt. It is always. We may not always have opportunity to share with those who who we meet for the first time. It may come when we get to know them better after a period of time. If we only have gracious conversation with them at one time, at the other, we may lose the opportunity to keep talking to that person about the gospel message. So be consistent of being graceful is very important. Also, it says, so that you know how to answer everyone. So not only a specific a group of people, it is everyone. It may sound scary, having engaging conversation with everyone. But actually, that's also very encouraging. It shows the opportunity of having graceful conversation is everywhere. When we always be graceful and be wise, we are actually be able to have a lot of opportunities to have meaningful conversation with everyone, even with those who have a totally different value system with us, and with those who come from different background, have very different personalities, or may disagree with what we believe. Or sometimes may even speak in a different language. I was really encouraged by Joe. So Haley's Joe. So he becomes a very good friend of Yu, so a Chinese elder man who barely speak English. So I heard from both of them said, yeah, we become really good friends and we enjoy each other's company. We catch up regularly and we always have some meaningful conversation. If there's words, we don't know, we just use app, use a translation app and help us to know each other, know the conversation much better. So one day, you also tell me, I've learned a lot of Christian value from Joe. It is so different from the value system I grew up with. But I love talking to Joe. He's a nice guy. I really enjoy this conversation. So that is really encouraging to me, and also I hope it can be encouraging to you. Let me conclude. Of God, He is consistently open doors for the gospel opportunity, and the opportunities are everywhere. So let us be prepared and get ready to be graceful and be wise in our speech, so we may speak the love and the grace of God to everyone well. And we hope our conversation command the gospel. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the reminder of your word today. You encourage us to be graceful in our conversation always, and to be graceful to everyone, so we are able to speak this great, great truth to them effectively and powerfully. We know it is hard sometimes, so we pray you do help us to be able to do it more and more, and we pray that you give us wisdom and the strength to do that. And what a great news that you promise us that you will give us the wisdom when we ask. So that's our great hope. So we pray that we will continue to be prayerful and we continue to rely on you for having this graceful conversation. And we pray through us this grace can be extended to more people around us. In your holy